And so what we're going to share with you today is the power of humility. The power of humility. And we might just make this more like a mini series I'm sensing, because this is, you're going to find this is really important. This is really important for our lives. I'm going to make a few statements I believe the Lord put in my heart to share with you by His Spirit. And then we're going to look at a few verses. And so we're talking about the power of humility. Someone say humility.
Humility.
Someone say it again, humility.
Humility.
And so let me share this. Now, when you got born again, now you got to get this. You got to understand, when you got born again, we could say in 2 Corinthians 5:17, it says, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. Someone say new creature.
New creature.
A new creature. The old has passed and the new has come. And so when you got born again, we could say your life changed on the inside. And so instead of being this self-driven, completely self-centered person, on the inside, you got changed to be a servant of God and to be used by God to be a blessing to other people. That really happened on the inside of you. And so in your walk with God, God's purpose then is for us to live that out and develop in this walk with God, to be a servant, to be a blessing to other people. And so now let me say this. This is a statement I believe the Lord gave me to say to you. Humility is yielding to the Holy Spirit to serve those He has called you to serve and where He has placed you. Do you hear what I just said there? So now as a believer in Christ, as a follower of Christ, then now you've been called. Humility is yielding to the Holy Spirit. We're yielding to Him to serve the people that He has placed us with, and to serve in the place He has called us. Now, there's a few arenas for that service. Here again, as a follower of Christ, talking to followers of Christ, you got born again. The Spirit of God, and we could say quickened you, changed you on the inside to be a servant, to serve others, to be a blessing. So let's, for example, in the family setting then, you realize the husband is equipped. His call then to do what? To serve his wife and his children. This is all part of it now. So it's yielding. Humility is yielding. It's yielding to the Spirit of God to serve the people and where He has placed us. Again, in the family, the husband is called to serve his wife. Someone say serve.
Serve.
One more time. Serve. So the husband is called to serve his wife, his children, his family. The wife is called to serve her husband, her children, her family. Amen. We could say the children then, they're called to serve their parents through obedience and through honor. Are you listening to what I'm saying? So this is really important. So if you take that down, so there's, let's say in your local church, and you're going to see a scripture, it says we're called to serve one another. Someone say serve. So right here we're saying humility is yielding to the Holy Spirit to serve. In your business, what happens is that in your business, wherever you're called to serve, wherever you are working, you are a servant. You're called to serve the people that come into that establishment, the people that you interact with. Can you see now, service then is everywhere. So now hear this. You got to hear this now. So again, humility is yielding to the Holy Spirit to serve wherever He places you, to serve the people He has called us to serve. So we're all called to serve one another. Are we listening to this?
Mm-hmm.
Pay attention. We're all called to serve. So the pastor, let me say this, the pastor is a servant. He is an example of the life of God, the love of God, the purity of God. He's an example of the life of Christ. He is a model, not to be placed on a pedestal as something to be idolized or a symbol of a life only a few can attain. No, and listen to this now. There is no such thing as a follower of Christ who does not serve others. Let me say it again. There is no such thing as a follower of Christ who does not serve others. Why again? Humility is yielding to the Holy Spirit to serve others. Someone say serve.
Serve.
So now listen, the Holy Spirit within you, listen, I know some of these thoughts might be new, but it's really important. The Holy Spirit within you will prompt you, will lead you to serve others with your time, your skills, your gifts, your abilities. Now think about this. You know, one of the reasons we have a lot of problems in our families and in our homes, even in Christian homes, Spirit-filled homes, is people not yielding to the Holy Spirit to serve. Is anyone hearing what I'm saying? Believers serving one another. Husbands serving their wives. Wives serving their husbands. Children serving one another. Amen? Serving their parents. People in the in business world, serving. Someone say serving.
Serving.
So this is it. This is so the Holy Spirit within you will prompt you, will lead you to serve others with your time, your skills, your gifts, and your resources. Are you listening to me? So now this is really important. That's why I'm kind of taking my time on it. So what is the opposite of serving is what? Self-serving. It's serving yourself. That's the opposite. Now, the opposite of humility is what?
Pride.
Is pride. This is really big stuff. So now, think about this now. Here's another thought the Holy Spirit gave me to share with you. You don't need the grace and the provision of God if all you serve is yourself. Does anyone hear me? Now, listen to this. Let me say it again. You don't need the grace and the provision of God if all you serve is yourself and your own self-interests.
Mm-hmm.
You got that?
Yes.
Now, that is why, listen to me now, that's why a lot of believers are dry. A lot of them feel no lack purpose. A lot of them are frustrated. Why? They've not gotten into the life of serving others. So we've got to make sure as believers, we are yielded believers. Mm-hmm. Amen, somebody?
Amen.
So now, that's what God wants to get across us today. So now, it's interesting. You can see why the Lord led us to teach on the pastoral office the way he did, that the pastor is an example of what then? Of service.
Yes.
He's an example of humility.
Amen.
Are you listening to me? He's an example of serving others. So now, that's part of why God wants us to get into this. So now, with that, turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5, we're talking about the power of humility, and I really believe God's going to use this message to change and transform your life and my life and to encourage you in this life of humility. The Lord's going to surprise you with some statements because you'll see that we've got to get more into this life of service. Again, humility is yielding to the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
To serve those he's called us to serve and be a servant in those places. Let me give you an example. How many of you have been in a store like me, and you've been in, let's say, just a regular store, could be a supermarket, could be a clothing store, some establishment, you need something. You go in the store, and you can't find what you're looking for. And then one of the attendants comes to you and says, you know, have you found what you're looking for? And you say, no, I'm trying to find this thing. I don't know if you have it. And the person says, you know, it's in aisle 5. But then they don't just leave you. What they do, some of them they do is, you know what? Let me show you where it is. And now you could go yourself, but the person goes ahead of you and leads you to aisle 5. And then they lead you to the actual item. And then some in a situation, someone said, you know what? We don't have it right now, but let me check in the back. I see they're going a little further. So they go, let me check in the back. They come back and say, sir, I'm sorry, we don't have it. But you know what? This store has it. And you know, that person was serving. That person was doing what?
Serving.
Was serving. That person was showing an attitude of service. What were they doing? They're realizing they're there to use their gifts. Everything about that store is really there to serve you.
That's right.
That was the mentality they were giving. That was the mentality they were showing. Now you go in another place and you might have experienced this as I've experienced it. You go into the store and the person is there. They see that you maybe not know what you're doing and they ignore you. Or they're so quick. In other words, they can't wait till you leave the store. You know, they treat you like you're a bother. Now, you know, that person is just there. They can't wait till the time goes by to get their paycheck. That is the only reason they're there. Are you listening to what I'm saying? They're not there to serve you. They're there to clock time to say they spend a certain amount of hours and give me my paycheck. That is it. Are you listening? So that person is there in the job to serve themselves. The opposite, the person who makes you feel good. How many of you, sometimes you've been into an establishment and you feel good when you leave the place? Now, what is that? The person was serving you. See the difference? Now, listen to this scripture now. 1 Peter chapter 5. I warn and counsel the elders among you, the pastors and spiritual guides of the church. This is the Amplified. And as an eyewitness called to testify of the sufferings of Christ, as well as a sharer in the glory, the honor, and splendor that is to be revealed, disclosed, unfolded, tend, nurture, guard, guide, and fold the flock of God that is your responsibility, not by coercion or constraint, but willingly, not dishonorably motivated by the advantages and profits belonging to the office, but eagerly and cheerfully, not domineering as arrogant, dictatorial, and overbearing persons over those in your charge. And we've looked at that in the past, but listen to this. But being examples. God, always remember that. Being examples. That tells you then who God wants pastors to be and who God wants you to submit to, because he wants your life to change for the positive more and more and more. Patterns and models, the Amplified says, of Christian living. I love that. To the flock, to the congregation. And when the chief shepherd is revealed, you will win the conqueror's crown of glory. Now listen to this now. Verse 5, this is where we're going. Likewise, you who are younger and of lesser rank, there's that order, be subject, underline that word. So be subject to the elders, the ministers, and spiritual guides of the church, giving them due respect and yielding to their counsel. Clothe yourselves, you should underline this one, clothe yourselves, all of you. All of you means all of you then, right? Everybody, leaders and all, everybody, clothe yourselves with humility. The Amplified says this, as the garb of a servant. Is that word servant? Mm-hmm. So that its covering cannot possibly be stripped from you, with freedom from pride and arrogance toward one another. For God sets himself against the proud, the insolent, the overbearing, the disdainful, the presumptuous, the boastful, and opposes, frustrates, and defeats them, but gives grace, favor, blessing to the humble. Now, there's a lot we got to say here, but I love this part here. Talks about submitting ourselves. We're submitting ourselves to be servants. Mm-hmm. Are you listening to me? Mm-hmm. So we've got to camp on this a little bit, and there's some statements you need to get. He says, all of us must have this attitude of servant. Mm-hmm. So guess what? The pastor, most of all, has to have this spirit in him. Mm-hmm. The spirit of a servant. So notice, he's not a dictator. Is not looking down on people, is not condescending to people, is not using his office to say, look how great I am, and all of you are peons. No. And then what doubles it up for me, he says, all of you must be servants. Can you imagine? Now, see, this is why I believe God wants to get this in our church in a much greater level than it is right now. Because he says, everyone, he says, all of you functioning with this spirit of humility. This spirit of, let me say that statement again. There's no such thing as a follower of Christ who is not a servant, who is not serving others. That's a North American derivative. That is not a New Testament thing. Quality. Look at that scripture again. All of you. It says, giving, so again, he says now, not just now submitting, part of your attitude of service. Oh, let me say this. What we think in North America or the Western world, we think serving someone means you're less than. That's what's holding up a lot of people, is to serve means you're less than. So part of what God wants to do over the next couple of weeks, we've got to get our minds changed on this serving attitude. Now, why is this important? Because he says everybody has to clothe ourselves with this garment of service. Someone say everybody. Everybody. Everybody with this attitude of service. Now think about this, bring it down in where we live then. In your home, husbands serving their wives. That's the mentality. But you see, now about this now. That's why I said in my book, you can't talk about submission if you don't understand equality. So if a man comes in, now I'm the head of the house. If they say the mentality must be this, I'm a servant to my family. That's the mentality. Does that make sense? So you're a servant to that home. You're a servant. Now, it doesn't lessen your position as a man and as a father. But you understand it's with this mentality. You've been given all of this to serve. Women, I'm telling you, you are, of course, women, you know, I mean, they're models of service. But the thing is this, women realizing in that home, serving. Can you imagine then everyone in your family having this mentality, how can I serve everyone else in this home? What have I got that I can be a blessing to my mom, to my dad, to my mother, to my father? Whoever that is. See, that's the mentality God wants us to have. In a church family, you were supposed to learn this in the church so we can carry it out in all the arenas of life that we have to deal with. So we got to go back to this verse 5 here. Look at this. All of us clothe ourselves with this garment of humility. And he says, so that its covering cannot possibly be stripped from you. You know what that tells me? You're going to be tempted to take off this garment of a servant. By that I mean, take off this mentality of serving others. There is the temptation to live a self-fulfilling life where all it is was self-serving life, excuse me. That's the temptation, to take that garment off so your life is all about serving you. Right here he says, all of you clothe yourself with humility. The garb of a servant, that its covering cannot be possibly stripped from you. Now, it's interesting. If something's going to be stripped from you, it means there's some opposition, something trying to pull at it to take off that garment of service. See that? Got to guard that. You've got to watch that. And so it says this. This is what's interesting. It says now, with freedom from pride. So the things that's going to try to get you not to be a servant is what? Pride. What is a prideful person? Someone who only sees themselves. It's what I want. My life is only about me. It's only my goals. It's only me. You see, so everything is around them. See, it says we've got to be free from pride. So now, things that can strip you from this serving attitude is what? Pride. And some of these things are sneaky things. And because sometimes what happens, we can make up excuses. And so we think we're getting away with this. But what's happening? You're yielding to a spirit of pride. It's all about you. Arrogance. See? Self-centeredness. So all you're looking at. So now think about it. So again, think about this now. Just think about it. The life of a Christian is receiving the Spirit of Christ. And now, God says now, he sends you in the world as his ambassador to serve others. Are you listening to what I'm saying? So can you imagine, again, going back practically, a husband in a home serving his wife. Think about that. A wife in a home serving her husband and children. Children serving, can you imagine that? So let me say it another way then. A lot of the strife and division in our homes has come for what reason? Pride. People not willing to serve. People not willing to take the lower seat. Someone not willing to take the wrong. Are you listening to what I'm saying here? And now if we don't get this right, that's why many Christian homes are no different than a non-Christian home. Why? Because the believers are not yielding to that spirit of love and humility. Put keeping on that garment of a servant. Does anyone hear what I'm saying here? Look at that. So that it cannot possibly be stripped from you. Freedom from pride. arrogance towards one another. Listen to this. This is why this is so important. For God sets himself against the proud, the insolent, the overbearing, the disdainful, the presumptuous, the boastful. See now, so now think about this. God is again, he sets himself, he's in opposition to that. But he gives grace, favor, blessing. You want to have the blessing of God on your life? You want to walk in his favor and grace and goodness? Then what? Serve others. Be a servant. Serve others. Now think about it. You realize the gifts you have? I even think sometimes even secularly. You know that? Think about this. Even people, if you have a gift to sing, you know the best singers are those, they use their gift. They're not thinking about how great they are or how great they want to be. But they realize, I've got a gift to sing. And you know what their motive is? I want to bless people. I want this gift to help somebody. Someone has come into this concert and they may be down. And what happened? I'm going to be used. This gift I have is going to help them. That's the mentality. Mm-hmm. It's whatever you have. What is it? You are a servant. What you've got is going to help someone.
That's right.
Now, see, God gives grace to what? You want more grace to give? You want more grace? Be a servant.
That's right. That's right.
Come with the mentality, not of how great I am, how great you want to be, but how can you yield to God and submit to others and use the gifts he's given you to help somebody? Is everyone hearing this? Now, and listen, every one of us right now, you can be a servant.
That's right.
You've got gifts, you've got abilities, you can serve, just an attitude. You can give that, you can bless people with this attitude. And he's saying here, all of you. Now think about this, sound as a, while we're talking about this, why this is so important. If we don't have this functioning in us as a church, listen to this. God said he sets himself against us. Mm. Think about that. So now why this is strong, and I don't have much notes here, but I'm just being led by the Lord. Listen to me. If we're not careful, I don't want to be in a church and lead in a church where we're just full of pride and arrogance and self-centered people. Is anyone hear what I'm saying?
That's right. No,
listen. We don't want God to say, you know what? Those people are resisting me. I can't work with those people. They're limiting me. They're hindering me. Now look at that. You've got to read the scripture. Pay attention, everybody. Listen to this. Look at what it says. God sets himself against the proud, the insolent, the overbearing, the disdainful. Hey, listen to me. Listen. See, the disdainful are the people. They look down on people. That's a prideful person. Why? It's about them. It's about them. It's about what they want. It's not about the people they serve. Are you listening to me? He says he defeats them, but God gives grace, favor, blessing to the humble. You want to walk in more grace? Let me say it again. You want to walk in more of the favor of God? Be a servant. Have the right mindset in serving others. Then he said, verse 6, therefore, humble yourselves. Listen to this. Demote yourself in your own estimation. Now, you've got to understand what this means. Under the mighty hand of God, and that in due time he may exalt you. Now, I got to share this because I go to this one scripture. We're going to look at this for a few weeks because this is so important. Look at this scripture, John chapter 13. John chapter 13. We've got to, let me say this, we have to restore the right picture of who Christ is and who we're called to be. We've got to get this right mentality. So look at John chapter 13, I said, right? John chapter 13. We're going to look at a few verses here. John chapter 13 from verse 1. Now, before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour had come to depart out of this world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world. Now, let me tell you why we've got to get into this. Let me say it again. I might have said this. Think about this. Serving is not the mentality where only low people serve. Mm-hmm. We got to get that out of our mind. That's the thinking of a lot of Christians. You know, or it's a place I'm here now. I'm in this place, and it's a low place, and I'll just pay, you know, bide my time until something better comes. We've got to get better than that. Or there's only certain people who serve. That's a certain class of people. Is anyone hearing what I'm saying? Now, and I saw a lot of people think that way. So that's with that thinking, then they don't see themselves as one of, well, that's not for me. That's for some other people. Those people serve. I'm here. That's for those people. Do you hear what I just said there? Only certain people serve. You know what? Let them serve, and then they can get to where I am. And then guess what? Then the cycle repeats. You have these people up here looking down on those people. Or the mentality is this. Those are those servants down there, and we are up here. We make sure we keep you as a servant. You see the class structure? Now, I know, you know why you're surprised, some of you? Because that's the prevailing thinking of many people. Now, look at this, because we're going to demolish that today. Look at this, or begin to. He says now, verse 2, during supper, when the devil had already put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he had come from God and was going back to God, rose from supper. He laid aside his outer garments, listen to this, pay attention, and taking a towel, tied it around his waist. Then he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel that was wrapped around him. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, Lord, do you wash my feet? Jesus said to him, what I am doing, you do not understand, but afterwards you will understand. That's interesting. See, you have to have understanding of this. Peter said to him, you shall never wash my feet. Jesus answered him, if I do not wash you, you have no share with me. Simon said to him, Lord, not only my feet, but also my hands and my head. Jesus said to him, the one who has bathed does not need wash except for his feet, but is completely clean, and you are clean, but not every one of you. For he knew who was to betray him. Go down to verse 12. When he had washed their feet and put on his outer garments and resumed his place, he said to them, do you understand what I've done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right. Listen, pay attention, everybody. You are right. For so I am. You see, Jesus knew who he was. He says, you're right. Yes, I am teacher. I am Lord. I know who I am. And you know who I am. But listen to what he says here. If I then, your Lord and teacher, he doesn't minimize that. He knows his rank. He knows his position. He knows what he's called to do. You see that? He says, if I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I've given you an example. What? An example. I've given you an example that you should do just as I have done to you. Truly, I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. Verse 17, if you know these things, so now we're teaching because you better know it. And as you know it, listen, if you know these things, that's not good enough to know it. Blessed are you if you do them. You see that? Now, listen, look at this. Here is Jesus saying, now, listen, I'm your Lord and Master. Remember, they'd walked with him. They saw him. This was not a man who was insecure. Mm-hmm. Are you listening to me? Yeah. He's not a man. Now, you got to understand, many people in positions of leadership, the why they put people down is because they're empty on the inside, they're insecure on the inside, and the only way they feel secure and good about themselves is by putting people down. That's how oppression works. But you understand, this is the Son of God, the sinless Son of God. He has no sense of inferiority. You got that? He has no need to put someone down.
That's right.
He is perfect in soul. So his emotions, he's got no mental inefficiencies. You got that? You wouldn't. That's hard to imagine. Think about that. He has no. Think about this. He doesn't have any thoughts where he doubts himself. He doesn't have any of those things. He's not. He doesn't go through bouts of depression. You understand that? You've got to understand. This is Jesus, the Son of God. Listen, he is sinless. What I want to impress upon you: the man is secure on the inside. His soul is sound. His mind is healthy. So he says this. Now think about this now. So now he knows what's been entrusted to him. I'm belaboring the point. But what I'm saying, he saw though and he accepted his responsibility, his obligation to serve others. So serving is not something you do. Write it down. Serving is not something you do because you're under someone. You got to get rid of that mentality. Again, let me say it again. Serving is not something you do because you're under someone. That's why some people, they're shocked when I said, okay, a husband serving his wife. You know why the click, why it goes on? Because the man thinks, well, I'm up here. What am I doing serving her? See, that's that wrong thinking. Father, where we've not allowed your grace, your humility, that spirit of a servant to flow through us, even in our homes, in our church, on our job, in all these different arenas, Lord, help us, forgive us. We thank you for the forgiveness and the cleansing you provide in the name of Jesus. We love you, Lord. We take on, we put on that garment of a servant. Hallelujah. And I thank you for the increase of the grace of God, the gifts of God that will flow through your people as we commit and recommit our lives to be servants to one another in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Thank you for this. I believe that Jesus bore my sins on the cross at Calvary. I believe he died for my sins. He was buried for my sins. I thank you. And I believe that God, you raised Jesus from the dead for my justification. And I thank you now for the new birth. I thank you now for making me righteous, cleansing me of my sins. And I will live for you all the days of my life in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Well, thank the Lord. Let's make that commitment right now to not only live for the Lord, but make that commitment to yield to the Holy Spirit to serve where he has called us to serve. Amen. So just before, praise God, we just want to bless those of you who joined us online, live stream. We bless you in the name of the Lord. We consider you a part of our church family. We bless you. We thank God for you. And so until next time, God's richest and best be to you and your family. Let us know how God has used this message to bless your life. And I want to encourage you, serve those people in your family, in your community today, this week, and in your work business, with the grace and the favor of God upon your life. In Jesus' name, amen.